You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Prime Minister-to-be Bill English steps into the spotlight for real this afternoon, so I caught up with political commentator Jennifer Curtin from the University of Auckland about what we can expect as a result of the change. What are Bill English's next steps once he is formally sworn in as Prime Minister?
So I think what's going to happen in the first instance is that he's going to have to reassure his backbench and those who are, you know, ministers in waiting and the sort of ministers that are or that have been ministers under Key, that he's going to consider all of their futures and their ambitions and reward them for their work under Key, because while the general public won't be worried so much about who gets into cabinet, we have to remember that Key and his kitchen cabinet and those who have been senior, if you like, for the last 3 to 6 years have held places that there are aspiring national backbenchers, you know, waiting to fill. So he's going to have to really take some care in ensuring that he quells the ambitions or any threat to unity by doing his cabinet selection very carefully.
Do you think he's capable of that? And do you think he's also capable of holding the, I want to say charisma, but it doesn't feel like the right word, the sort of aura that you need to hold the government in check as the leader? Do you reckon he's capable of that? And do you think that the public thinks that he's capable of that?
Well, I think obviously he has a really different leadership style to John Key, both in terms of a public persona, but probably in terms of dealing with his own caucus. So of course there'll be differences, and nobody's expecting him to sort of be as jolly and as popular and as man about town as John Key was. So he won't have that kind of charisma factor. But that said, there is an understanding or a recognition that he's been the one that's been primarily in charge of the purse streams and in terms of economic management, and he'll get some credit for having done a really good job at that. I think the interesting thing, however, is we need to see a baseline poll fairly soon from Colmar Brunton or whomever wants to do it to get a sense of how much the government's popularity is being propped up by Key's popularity, because we know even when he resigned, he was still around 36-37% popularity. So we need a baseline now so that come the new year or February, when we're looking again, we can see whether or not English really has what it takes to convince the public that National should have a fourth term, which is quite a significant feat if he does manage it.
From that news that Bill English was the only one informed of John Key's resignation, do you think that there is any kinds of signs of weakness within the party now, maybe like divisions or opposing forces or conflict?
Well, I think there'd probably be some resentment around this because it did look like, in hindsight, like a bit of a setup. Like, let's give English time to set in place how he's going to respond. In a sense, he's had 2 months to work out who should be in his cabinet and how he would deal with the competing tensions that would exist. So there might be some residual resentment, but let's be realistic. None of these MPs who are National MPs want to go into opposition next year. So they're gonna have to give a bit, and hopefully, you know, over the last few days, they will have gotten over their sense of resentment, and English will have a strategy for rewarding all of those who deserve to be rewarded, however he chooses to measure that.
And another question I have, this is actually a slightly unrelated, but in terms of the upcoming election, what are your thoughts on the potentially upcoming by-election in Mount Albert?
Yeah, this is actually an interesting one. You know, Jacinta Ardern has said she's still considering whether or not she'll stand. It would make sense, I think, for her to stand. We know from the way MMP works that in order to have a secure political career, you really need a safe seat as well as a safe position on the list, because if a party loses too much of their party vote, even highly ranked MPs can end up losing their seat in Parliament. So while she did really well against Nikki Kaye in 2014, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen again. And it would be nice to see a high-profile Green candidate give Auckland Central a bit of a go. People on Twitter are talking about Chloe Swarbrick for that. And certainly the demographics of Auckland Central have changed since Judith Tizard held it. So it's no longer a seat that Labor can automatically assume it would win. So I think the by-election will be interesting, and I think if Jacinda Ardern puts her hand up, then we wouldn't see, you know, 14 candidates stand like we did last time around when David Sherratt won it, when Helen Clark resigned.
And just finally, back to National, do you think John Key has, or not John Key personally, but do you think his actions by resigning have put National in an overall weaker position or the same?
Well, as I said, I think we probably need a bit of a poll to tell us that, you know, at some point. But if we think about how undecided voters choose to vote, because most voters, you know, 60% of voters are still party identifiers. So who the leader is, if you're a National voter, probably isn't going to make much difference. But for those who are undecided, so the 30%, let's say, we won't know really until sort of after the budget and when the campaign starts whether or not they're truly in a weak position. At this stage, we'd have to say the economy is strong. You know, English is a known quantity. He's not unknown to the electorate. He's had a relatively high profile. People know that he doesn't have the same charisma as Key, and maybe just fine about that, because who's going to be a second Key anyway? So I think at this stage we could say it's fairly balanced, and really what's going to matter is how the undecided voters who may have voted National because they liked Key, where they decide to go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.